Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, if that's the way it's spelled or pronounced, I don't know. And it came to pass in the month Tishri in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are in the left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the Lord, before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. For sake of time, let's look at chapter 2, verse 4. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldst send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting with him, for how long shall I journey thee, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Down to verse 10. When Sanballat the Horite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I rose in the night, I and some few men with me, and so on. Let's go down to verse 19. But when Sanballat and Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Jeshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Now, chapter 3. Verse 1, then Elisha the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they built it. The sheep gate they sanctified it, set it up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiah. Let's look over the 5th chapter. Verse 19. Think on me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Verse 9 of chapter 6. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work that it can be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Verse 14. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to their works. And so on. Let's look over a little further. Chapter 8. Chapter 7 first, the 66th verse of chapter 7. The whole congregation together was 42,300 threescore. Chapter 8. All the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. I'm just reading enough here to make you provoke you to go home and read it, because I couldn't read it all. But if I can provoke you in this way, that's a good way to provoke people. Now let's look over, please, to the last chapter. Verse 28. And one of the sons of Joiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite. Therefore I chased him from me. Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood of the Levites. Thus cleanse thy them from all strangers, and appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, everyone in his business, and for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits. Remember me, O my God, for good. I just want to spend a little while this afternoon. In connection with this man, I'd like to think of him as a man in a crisis. God has had his man all through, down through the ages, men that have been raised up of God for a certain crisis, and even in the day in which we live, we still have crisis in God's assemblies. Maybe you don't have it here, but I know in a lot of places where we go, there's a real crisis going on, and what it needs is somebody that God would raise up in the crisis to be able to work for God and bring about salvation to that people, to that company. Here we have this man Nehemiah, consolation of Jehovah, and he heard when the men came to him, Hananiah came to him, and he said, how's things going in Jerusalem? It was a pitiful sight. It was a pitiful condition. Terrible that anything would ever fail the people of God in such a way as to be in the condition they were in. Problem is, didn't seem to be anybody to know about it or care about it. I'm just stopping here for a minute. He said, what's going on? How's things? And he told them that the walls of Jericho, or the walls of Jerusalem, have all fallen down and the gates burned with fire. What a condition. So Nehemiah, he did something about it. He started to work. No, he didn't. What did he do? He wept. And then he mourned. And then he fasted. And then he prayed. Then he investigated. Then he worked. Brothers and sisters, I say again, I don't know what you have here in Vancouver, but I'm sure you've had problems in the past, and if you haven't, you'll go get them, because the devil makes sure of it. I'm convinced of one thing, that the devil is out in these days to wreck God's assemblies, because of the fact that he knows his time is short. He knows that we don't understand, and if we're found asleep, he knows what's going on, and he knows his time is very short, and he's out, I'm convinced, bent on wrecking God's assembly. We have that back east. That's why I'm speaking the way I am. Because it seems to be, is there not a man amongst you? That's what I'm finding. Brother Hell can attest to this, but we're not going to mention names or anything. But I'm just going to tell you that there's assemblies that are going to pieces. I mean, it's dreadful what's going on. And what it needs is somebody with a real desire after the people of God, because that's the way it was with this man. He had a desire to see them going on and pleasing the Lord. Therefore he went. Then he mourned. Then he fasted. It's costing him something. He's not just going to run into this blindfold. He's not just going to run into something and say, I'm going to straighten this whole thing out. There's a man come to Nova Scotia one time, he would go straight from the assembly. Well, he's not there anymore. But there's a man raised of God for a certain purpose, for a certain crisis in the day in which he lives. If only we could find men like that today that have a real interest in God's people. Too often, we're just like, if somebody gets out of the way or gets away from God's assembly, too often we feel, well, maybe we're better off with a, what a carnal thing, label. Or maybe they weren't even saved anyway. It seems as though Nobody cared. Can you imagine the condition of this was in the city of God, Jerusalem? And it didn't seem as though anybody cared whatsoever. This was going on. The gates were burnt down. The walls were down. And then look again. When this man finally realized something has to be done, I want to say something that was going by here. He started to pray. Now, if he's going to pray for the condition that Jerusalem is in, it's going to take a month to pray. In fact, it'll take years of pray. It took 2 minutes. Because he had a real burden in his soul. I say 2 minutes. Read it when you go home. His whole prayer. And after he started working, after he started into the building, did he stop praying? No, he didn't. But over and over again through those verses that we have read, he prays continually. One verse doesn't. One verse, I think, is only 9 words in. But he keeps on praying. Because he realizes in this great situation that's in this condition that he's doing a job for the Lord and it's going to take God to do it. Brothers and sisters, we're living in times when something has to be done. One of the best elders back home, and I say one of the best, something is brought up, he'll say, we'll have to pray for it. Pray about it. 6 months later, he's still praying. Now, I want to say he is a good elder. And he wants to be careful. He's not just going to run into this thing like someone run into the very presence of angels without thinking or without fear. He wants, the trouble is, it's boiling all the time. It's getting bigger. As it always does. When there's something wrong, it never gets smaller. It gets building and building and building. And after a while, a person's got in their mind why it's tremendous. So there is a time for praying. And a person shouldn't do anything for God without praying. There's a time for doing something. So we find that this man, now he started to work. And when he started to work, Sanballat, the old sinner, and Tobiah, they're going to laugh at him. And he said, even if a fox is up on that wall, he can knock it down. There's always somebody against it. No matter what you try to do. And I'm thinking more of the elders of the assembly right now. And they see a situation that's not right. I hope you let me talk this way because, you know, I'm an old man now. So you can take it from an old person. And we've seen back home the assemblies that we've seen credit. The trouble comes in. And you want to try to get the thing fixed up, and you get the brethren together. But there's always somebody to... What are you trying to do? In fact, there are some that will say, it's only the apostles that could bring it to bed. Well, the apostles aren't here anymore. So I said, where do you think you get off at? Trying to get this thing straightened out here. Well, why not? Well, where did the scripture for? Acts 15. Because they think that you can't go someplace else and try to help things. Acts 15. Paul leaves and goes away to Jerusalem. Looks at one man and says, oh yeah, but he was an apostle. Shadrach, took the brother with him. There were no apostles. There's some that will stand in the way to keep from getting things straightened out. And brethren and sisters, I know you know as well as I do, when the assembly started out well, there was no crying. Well, I remember the first time we sat down at Chandlersville, 15 people. Someone just baptized a couple of weeks before. Paul McCracken gave us that hymn number 6. We started to sing it. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Before it was finished, he was the only one singing. The rest were bowed, and the tears dripping hard upon the old floor. There was humility to start with. But there's not that same humility now. Oh, brothers and sisters, if only we could build the walls again. And there needs to be walls. One man said, down home, I was almost to tell you where it was. But when I was trying to have a little word for a couple of weeks on the walls of Jerusalem, didn't build it, he said, you know, he said, we got the walls down, now he's come around trying to build them up again. There has to be walls around God's assembly. And the gates have to be swinging well. Everything has to be according to God's mind and will. There's a sheep gate, and there's a dung gate, and there's and all these different gates. And they all need to be in good order for an assembly to be able to go on, and the Christians or the people in it enjoying God's ways and salvation. So first of all, he's working now, and he's praying at the same time. Just for a minute or two more, they finished that wall. And while they were working at it, half of the people were building, and half of them had swords. But why would they need swords? My, what a condition those people must have been in. While they're building a wall that God wanted around his city, there's those that don't want it. And so they need the sword to defend the ones that's working. But isn't it good to see them all working together? Some are defending, some are building, but the wall's going up. May God help us to understand that God has walls around his people today. We need them to keep out that which is wrong and to protect that which is inside. And of course he's put men at the helm to be able to look after the sheep. Shepherds. What a lack amongst us today. I say that kindly. What's the somebody, who's the shepherd supposed to look after? The sheep? And the sheep are not all in the fold. There's some away. The outside. There was a time when I was in bad condition. Confession stood with the soul. One of our brethren drove 200 miles in an old Ford car with the hind end fenders falling off it. Dusty, dirty roads, potholes, and all the rest. When he drove in the lane, I said to my young wife, I'll go and talk to him. I figured he was coming to give me a ball on that. I was out and got in the truck. He just put his arm around me. He says, I'm sorry, Ralph. That's a shepherd. I know you've lost a good one here in Vancouver. You've lost a good one. You know who it is. Anytime there was a problem, whether it was a saved person or a Christian, Jim was there. But it was more. Men of the hour. Men of the crisis. The wall was builded, and then they got the book out, and they began to read. And the red given a sense of it. And the people bowed and worshipped. Oh, the book. You know something? I'm afraid we're getting away from this book. I'm worth there kindly because of worth, but I'm worth there because I believe it. I haven't been to your Bible readings, your conferences, I don't know. But back home, the preachers are huddled together, about the 13 or 14 of them. And the matching of wits about a certain word. And there'd be 300 or 400 people, maybe 700 in one of our conferences. Young people. Half of the 700 young people, and they're sitting there, and they're like, what in the world are they talking about? As we read the book and gave a sense of it, the perfect people heard in their own language, and they worshiped. They bowed their heads and we're getting away from that. I'm not saying that the conference, that teach a wrong thing. I'm not saying that. But I am saying we're missing the fundamentals, the down-to-earth things that the young people need to show them why they are in God's assembly so they will appreciate it. Before I sit down, for the people bowed and worshiped, and they were all there, this is the whole congregation. Oh, what a crowd that must have been. Inside 10 years, the man that started building the sheep gift, he's in alliance with Tobias. Inside 10 years. No wonder the Levites weren't getting their portion. And this man that started off with prayer, he finishes with prayer. But in the meantime, the last chapter, he's getting after things and getting things straightened out again. And even going after Elijah, the high priest. Inside 10 years. What I'm saying as I sit down is this. We can never sit back and say, now we've got it all straightened out. We need the book still. And we need to continually bring it before the minds of the young Christ. And ourselves, we need to keep continually the reminder of what God has for us and what God has said. Now with that, I'll stop, and I hope you'll forgive me if I said anything.